There are 10,000 men and women all over the Indianapolis area. They have packed every hotel. They're crowding the convention center and all the restaurants. They are the men and women of the American Legion. Their national convention is here in Indianapolis all week. In a few minutes, there are some of the delegates here are going to hear from the Secretary of Veterans Affairs. They've already heard a tape message from the President of the United States. The governor came and spoke to them. Governor Mitt Romney will be here tomorrow. But these delegates from all around the country and even places around the world are here talking about what we can do to continue to help those who have served our country, those who continue to serve. It's a special edition of Afternoons with Amos. We are live at the Convention Center. We think we're the first ever black radio station ever to broadcast live from an American Legion National Convention. And I caught a couple of Legionnaires from Virginia, from the Hamptons, from Hampton, Virginia, where they understand the importance of veterans because there are a lot of service personnel, naval bases, air bases there. We're with Ron Fanning. He's a proud member of Post 67, which I heard was the best post in the entire state of Virginia. And Linda Fanning, and her name tag not only says Post 67, it says she's the commander. She's the head of the post. And see, some of y'all thinking, wait a minute, American Legion, we know there are women that serve, but a woman can't be a commander of an American Legion post. And she says, oh, yes, we can. Guys, thanks very much for at least stopping with us. Let me first ask you, because people can ask you, what goes on at an American Legion convention?
What we do is we get information on what other Legion posts are doing with their children and youth program, because that's a very big and important area that we are involved with. We try to do as much as we can about the veterans. We take care of our veterans, do different activities with them at our home posts and all. So we share, but we gather information, and my husband can tell you more.
See, that's a wise commander delegating responsibility. One of the things we heard, and our listeners will hear an exclusive interview with the national commander of the American Legion talking about these youth programs. And I think a lot of people don't realize, you know, how the 2 million Legionnaires touch our youth all across the country every day.
Yes, we do. It's one of our main tenets is taking care of the children and the widows of the veterans. And it's just we just try and help them all. You know.
Commander Linda Fanning, there may be some moms and grandmas whose daughters have served in our military, and they may have heard the words American Legion, and they think it's a guy thing. How easy is it for women to get involved at a post?
Very easily. What you can do, you can either go online and check with the American Legion or go to an American Legion post in your area. But it's very easy to get information. We're all around, and we try to get as many women veterans involved as possible. We're very active at the VA hospital, for example, and you see lots of females working there, female veterans, doing what they can to support the veterans who have been wounded during their service.
And one of the things we're learning from the, because I know there are veterans that are listening to us right now who maybe are having problems dealing with the bureaucracy of the VA or the bureaucracy of Social Security, you know, and y'all served in the military, so you know how that VA and the red tape works, but don't understand that even if they're not a Legion member, they can go to legion.org, they can call their local post, and they can get someone to help advocate, to help stand up for them, to be that buddy, that partner, to help cut that red tape.
Yeah, they have every post has service officers, plus they have them within the departments and also on the national level. And those service officers are there to help not only Legionnaires, but like you say, any veterans that comes in, they will get them some help.
People are familiar when they see pictures of the American Legion, the blue caps that everyone wears. And I'm noticing your blue caps have a cardinal in the center. Is that like a state? Is that the state bird?
That's the state cardinal for Virginia.
It's the official Virginia cardinal.
Yes, it is.
So I look at different states. I got to find out what Indiana's thing is. I noticed that you got all kind of medals and stuff. And you served when for our country?
I served in 83 to 91, 8 years.
So you're a part of the volunteer army.
Yes, I was.
Mm-hmm. Is it difficult getting those who served in the volunteer army, the military that we have today, to understand the importance of being a member of one of our veteran service organizations, including the American Legion?
No, it really isn't. All you have to do is really sit down and talk to them, ask them a few questions. If they have a family, tell them what the American Legion does with families as far as assisting from the small age all the way up to adults. I mean, the whole family can get involved with the American Legion.
And I know you are not the only female commander of an American Legion post.
No, I'm not. But I'd like to say I am the first female at my post. And there's another legionnaire here, Margaret Fields, from Newport News, Denby Post 368. She's also the first female commander at her post. So it's an honor and a privilege to serve.
Y'all in Virginia doing it to death here. It must be because y'all close to the water and everything. Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
You know, Ron and Linda Fanning, first of all, thank you for your service to our country when you, you know, proudly wore the uniform of our country. Thank you for your service as members of the American Legion. And we know you're here having a good time. Please spend a lot of money. We're $67 million, got a city deficit. We need all the help you can get. So the more that you spend, the less of the deficit we'll have. And then we keep our police and firefighters on the street and that kind of good stuff.
Well, I'm going to spend some money now.
Guys, thanks very much for being with us. 239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. We are live at the American Legion National Convention. And I want to tell you all, there's a lot of us in here. This is, if you had the perception that an American Legion convention is not a diverse organization, that is definitely not the case. I got somebody here, I think he's from California because he's got that golden bear on the hat. If I can borrow you a hot second, we're live on the radio, Black Radio here in Indianapolis, WTLC. We think we're the first station ever to be live at an American Legion National Convention. You're a department commander. You've been a department commander out in California. Where in California?
Monterey, and that's the 28th District, and also San Francisco, all over the whole state. The whole state of California.
And you brought all this good California weather here to the Hoosier State this week?
Yes, I did.
There are a lot of people listening in our black community who may not understand how the American Legion can help, particularly our veterans who may not be members but who need that kind of help and support to get employed, because we have the unemployment rate of our new veterans is just totally ridiculous. It is totally out of kilter, and veterans that need help with disability claims and things like that.
Well, what we're trying to do is trying to have these meetings, different meetings with these people, and get them to listen. All we want them to do is listen, and then we can guide them in the right direction.
And so you don't you don't have to be a Legion member. You go online to legion.org or look in the phone book, find an American Legion post in your neighborhood or close to you or close to where you work. You know, go there and check them out.
That's correct.
What kinds of things go on at this convention besides good times?
Well, we go over all of the different resolutions that is out there for the veterans, that we're trying to do for the veterans. That's for their work, for their health, and for all. And this is part of what's going on. And then we recognize the people that's already in there.
When you go back home to California, do people in your community, particularly African-American community, really understand what all the Legion does for all of us?
Well, I would say no, they don't understand, but we're trying to make them understand.
How can we do a better job of doing that?
By having seminars and things of that nature, and that we could do that.
Well, we thank you for your service to our country. We thank you for your service to the American Legion. And I see I'm learning about these little symbols in the front of the hat for the state, so I recognize your golden bear out there.
Yes. California is one of the... It was one of the good ones.
It's one of the good ones, huh?
One of the good ones.
All right, Charles. Brother Charles Eskris, thanks very, very much for being with us.
Charlie, they won't go. They won't answer. You just said Charles on me.
So, all right, Charlie. I got to read that big name there. Brother Charlie, thank you very much for being with us.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. 239-1310, 239-1310. This afternoon's name is we're live at the American Legion National Convention downtown. Like I said, a lot of folks that are here. A lot of the delegates are in the general session hearing from the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, who is speaking to the delegates about at this hour. Earlier today, the delegates of the convention heard from Congressman Andre Carson. It is one of the traditions of the National Convention that the member of Congress for the area where the convention is allowed to address the delegates and speak. The Honorable Eric Shineski, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, is talking to the delegates at this hour. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. We'll take an early break when we come back. Our interview with the National Commander of the American Legion, Fang Wong, from New York State. Also, we'll tell you more about how you can get involved and engaged in the American Legion. Talk to some more of the delegates that are here. It's a special edition of Afternoons with Amos, talking about our veterans, our American Legion, which is their national headquarters, is right here in Indianapolis, downtown. Where else? At the American Legion Mall. It's Afternoons with Amos on a busy Tuesday. All right, we're back live at the American Legion National Convention. Somebody called. Didn't want to go on the air. They said they've served 20 years in the National Guard. Does that make you eligible to be a member of the American Legion? Simple answer is yes. If you wore the uniform of this country, either active duty military, reserve, National Guard, you're eligible to be a member of the American Legion. And I think the membership fees vary by post, so you can go to their website, legion.org, or you can go find a regular ordinary telephone book and look under the phone book for the American Legion post. Pick a post in your neighborhood, or your post may be close to where you work or where you hang out, and go in there, find out about membership. It could be as little as $20 to $30 a year, not a month, a year. And they got a great website, as a matter of fact, with all kinds of information about what it is the American Legion does and all of the services that they offer at legion.org, legion.org, 239-1310, 239-1310, it's Afternoons with Amos. A couple of things to update you before we go to our interview with the National Commander, Fang Wong, of the American Legion. Isaac is now a Category 1 hurricane. It has been upgraded. This is from NBC News. The Weather Channel has been upgraded within the last hour to a Category 1. It is still on a track to hit New Orleans probably late this evening or early tomorrow morning. Eerily, this hurricane is following virtually the same track as Hurricane Katrina 7 years ago. The only difference, Hurricane Katrina was a Category 4 and a Category 5. This particular now Hurricane Isaac is a Category 1. That's winds of about 70 to 85 miles an hour. But there are also fears that this hurricane will be extraordinarily slow in moving across the New Orleans area. And if they are that slow in moving across the area, then that could be a lot of rain. That could really test, you know, how well all those billions of dollars in flood walls and other stuff have done, to deal with all of that. 239-1310. Tomorrow on the program, in our second hour, in our 2 o'clock hour, Congressman Andre Carson, who greeted the delegates to the American Legion National Convention, he will be with us in our second hour tomorrow. Also, there's been a major development in those TIF districts, those tax districts, that deal with, reducing property tax dollars temporarily to create economic development. Democrats had been opposing setting up TIF districts in the downtown area or expanding the TIF districts because they wanted something in return. It looks like Democrats were able to get promise from city officials for something in return, including some job training initiatives for us. Hello. Some opportunities for black-owned businesses to get some piece of the action. We will talk to the president of the City County Council, Maggie Lewis, City County Councilors Bob Osley and Joe Simpson in our first hour tomorrow. Thursday, we're live from the Lawrence Township Schools at the McKenzie Center, and we'll find out what is going on in education at the Lawrence Township Schools. And then Friday, in our first hour, we will get reaction to Governor Mitt Romney, who will be addressing. He's going to be popping in Indianapolis briefly tomorrow to address the delegates tomorrow morning at the American Legion National Convention. He's going to come from Florida to Indianapolis and then go back to Florida. And he gives his acceptance speech on Thursday night. We'll get your reaction to that, Republican reaction as well, on our program on Friday. 239-1310. 239-1310. This afternoon's name is Sean Sparks. Is with, I got to find out what is internal affairs with the American Legion. He's one of the many African-American staff members here at the National Office of the American Legion. I think a lot of people say, there's black people that work at the Legion. Yes, there are black folks that work at the American Legion. Sean, welcome. When I see internal affairs, I'm going, that means you investigating something. What you investigate?
Well, Amos, it's a pleasure to be on your show. I'm also affiliated with the membership side of it, in addition to internal affairs, which membership is actually my main purpose. And what I do, I go out to a lot of the inner cities, as of late, the metropolitan areas, because there's a misconception, a perception you have with the American Legion that in the inner city, too old, too white, too male. And that's a perception that we see. And me growing up in Warren, Ohio, you know, even the American Legion post there, I looked at it as a social club. I didn't know as far as the different benefits, the programs that was there. Even, you know, for minorities in the inner city, we didn't know that what was out there for us. And see, that's my job. Billy Johnson, the director of membership, has assigned me. I go to a lot of inner cities and try to put the information out there as far as the career fairs that we hold for the veterans. Because, for example, we had one here recently a couple days ago.
How did that go?
Well, it was kind of, the turnout wasn't like I would have hoped. As far as the total number, I'm not sure. Because I know last year, Minneapolis, is probably 25 got hired from that career fair. And it was disappointing, especially with the minority number that was there for the entire fair.
Let me ask you a couple questions. Before you came over here, somebody called, didn't want to go on the air, but they said that they served 20 years in the National Guard, and how would they become a member of the American Legion?
Well, as long as they served honorably and they served at least one day of active service during a wartime eligible period, which from August 2nd of 1990 to present has been the longest open period. So within that 20-year period, you would figure he hopefully had one day of active service, active federal service. That's the key.
So that's with the way the National Guard have been rotated in and out of Iraq both times, Afghanistan this time, some other things, that you're telling me that would allow more National Guard to be eligible to be American Legion members?
That's correct. That's correct, Amos. Like I say, after 1990 to present, active the National Guard, the reserves, as long as they have that one day, and going overseas would account for federal service. And one day of basic training also.
You know, I wish we had video down here because I think I've seen more African-Americans wearing delegate badges, wearing the American Legion cap strolling through here than I think listeners would even think. They would probably think there was only one or two. There was a gentleman I ran into from Florida who actually serves on one of the national committees on the bylaw and constitution writing committee, was talking about that even people in African-American communities forget that black folk have served in every fight America's been involved in from the time Crispus Attucks spilled his blood in the Boston Massacre in 1770.
Yes, sir. Amos, it's amazing because you have a lot of people. My father served in the Marine Corps. But during that era, you had, you know, it was a misconception. I mean, even back then, I don't know how I would have handled it myself. But they paved the way for us. And like my father said, back then it was totally different to what it is now. To where now you join the military, you know, African-Americans, they're going into a career that they can use when they get out. You know, and back during the draft, you know, you were going where you was assigned to go. And see, now, like with me, I was a recruiter in the Army, and pretty much I take my skills from recruiting, active duty, and pretty much what I do now on that basis, trying to build up membership for the American Legion.
And when we came on the air, we were privileged to find an American Legion couple, both our members, husband and wife, from the Hamptons in Virginia, and she's the commander of the post, which kind of, you know, it kind of freaked me out. You know, the Lord works when he wants to, show something, but it also shows that women not only are members of the American Legion, they have leadership posts in their local community and at the national level.
Yes, there's an all-female post in St. Louis, Missouri, that is doing well. I mean, excellent. around the country, you know, 20% of the military are females now. So that's a market right there, a penetration, because you get a lot of females who do not know or believe that they are veterans. They believe, they really truly do not believe that they are veterans. If they serve, they're veterans. And so that's a lot of problems I run into when I go out to these other cities. I let them know, have you served in the military? And if you served, you are a veteran, and you have benefits out there.
239-1310, 239-1310, afternoon's name is. Let me go to the lines, and Karen. Karen has a question. Go ahead, Karen.
Yes, hello to your guests. I have always enjoyed participating with the Legion, but I've recently found out, even though my husband served 25 years, because he's not a member, I can't join. Yet they allow you to join if your husband's deceased. Is there a reason why he would have to be a member? He doesn't have an interest, but I do, as far as auxiliary. But you can't, I'm understanding, you can't do it unless he's a member.
All right. Who did the service in the military?
My husband.
Okay. But he's not a member, but and that holds you back from joining.
Right. They told they said that if he was deceased, I could join. But as long as he's alive and not a member of a local post, then I can't join.
You know what he ought to do for you for Christmas?
What's that?
For Christmas, he ought to buy the membership to the American Legion so you can utilize it.
Well, the problem is that he's remarried now, so.
Oh,
he
okay.
He probably won't do that, and he doesn't live in this city. And another question, part two of my question, yeah. On the form that you applied to be a member, it says uncles, brothers, et cetera, but you can't join under those. So I just wanted some insight on that. And.
All right. Let me let Sean Sparks respond.
How you doing, ma'am?
Hi.
Actually, we have what they call women's auxiliary. And as long
right.
as, say, your brother, your grandfather, great-grandfather, women have actually more better chance to join than the brothers that's out there that have people to serve. But the women with women's auxiliary, you can join under a grandfather, your father, your grandfather, brothers.
Oh, under your brother as well?
One of the eligible periods, as long as they serve during one of the eligible war periods.
Yes, I did. I had a brother, uncle, and nephews that served. Now, is this a nationwide thing, or is that just local in the city? Because here in the city, I was understanding I couldn't go up under my brother.
You need to look. Have you been over to Post 249?
That's my favorite post.
You need to go back over there.
Okay, and just ask them.
Well, you tell them when you go back over to 249 that you was talking to Sean and Amos on the radio.
All right,
and
I'll do that.
And you know what, ma'am?
Because I love the auxiliary. They call me, they consider me the friend of the auxiliary. I'm just not a member because of that holdback.
What I would tell you to do is get, even if you can get paperwork, because a lot of them want to see proof.
Mm-hmm.
Just say, like, for your father, you know, your grandfather, if they served. Even if you have, some posts will allow a photo if they are deceased.
Okay.
But you'll be surprised.
But if my brother is living and he shows proof that he was in the military, I should be able to maybe join under
now,
him.
He has to be a member. Now, I'm talking. That's why I'm going back.
Okay.
You
okay.
still have to be a member. Yes, ma'am. You have
okay.
to be a member. Yes.
Membership starts, somebody said, like $20,
$25. Yeah, well,
like
see, I can probably talk to my brother and get him to join.
Wait a minute. I'm going to go over here. Betty's over here from Indiana, and she is one of the – All right, we're just going to say local page. Local page knows everything. And these are the folks that are kind of helping out the convention. And how much in the posts that you work with, how much does it cost to be a member?
The Legion auxiliary ladies membership is
$15. Oh, it hasn't gone up. Okay.
Yeah, it's $15 a year, and we do a lot at Post 249. So come on over. We'll be happy to work with you. And see you and just have a lot
and
of fun.
I probably know you, Betty, because I'm there all the time. So I will look for you, and I will speak with them as well as about the paperwork.
She's going to figure out which Karen this is before this is
well,
over.
Well, I'll just go ahead and tell
Why
you. My name is Linda.
Linda. Okay. Linda, can I ask you a question? Is your father a member of Post 249?
No, none of my family, even though they served the military, nobody but me is interested in joining a Legion.
Okay.
So that's been my holdup.
Well, it'll be a pleasure to meet you.
Okay.
And we'll have a lot of fun.
Okay. Thank you, Amos.
Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's afternoon's name is. Now, I got an even handsomer man here from the American Legion. He's from North Carolina. He's one of the delegates here, and he's got his official Marine tie. So he's one of Agent Gibbs's guys. I mean, he's one of Gunny Gibbs's guys. Brother Oscar Coward, first of all, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We're glad to be here because we think we're doing a first here at you know, bringing some soul up to the National Convention. How long have you been involved in American Legion? What kinds of things are you involved in, both locally and here at the national level?
Well, I've been a member of the American Legion for about 9 years now, and I've served on local levels in South Carolina, on a district level, and I've served on the national level on different committees and commissions. So we're doing a lot of great things here in the American Legion.
One of the things, and I've talked to a number of the delegates that are here, members of the Legion, African American, is how do we get the word of what you all do, and particularly Legionnaires of Color, out to our communities? Because here in Indianapolis, yeah, we're the site of the national headquarters, but most of the people listening say, oh, that's where we go to the Black Expo concert at the American Legion Mall, and they really don't know what all is going on and the work you all do with young people, the work you do advocating on behalf of veterans, you know, keeping Washington honest and not forgetting. And she's laughing because, you know, that's a fight and a half. And that's a constant battle you guys have with the bureaucracy in Washington, making sure they understand to keep the promises this country has made to our veterans.
Well, one of the things that I would – let me encourage any veteran that's eligible to belong to the American Legion, to belong to the American Legion. The American Legion is the only organization that covers the scope of work that it does. I'm a member of several different veteran organizations, and I won't say any names because I'm here representing the American Legion. But the American Legion far surpasses any other veteran service organization when it comes to programs, veterans advocacy, and what we do generally in the local community, state, and the nation. So I would encourage anyone to just go to your local post. Just find a local post in your community. We have several. And go in and become a part. Just go and sit in a meeting. Or come to a state convention or something and see what we do as a whole. Don't be fooled and think we're not here. We always going to be in the camp. So you just have to get out there and want to be a part.
Now, when did you serve our country as a Marine?
I served in the Marine Corps, started in 1983.
So you're part of those Marines Marines always have volunteered, except a few times they were drafted in World War II, but you are part of those volunteer Marines. What motivated you after you left service to join the American Legion?
Well, one of the things that motivated me is actually I was living in Atlanta at the time, and my mother became familiar with the American Legion in Columbia, South Carolina. So I saw her doing some things, and I had to go back home and find out what was going on. And that was the start of what I, you know, of my American Legion.
So Mama got you in this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As mamas always do, when they see a good thing and they think it's a good thing, you know, they're going to tell you, hey, maybe you might try this. So because I became a member, she was able to become a member.
Let me go to the lines at 239-1310, 239-1310. Let me go to Bill. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Amos. How you doing?
I'm fine. What's up?
I joined the Marine Corps, and I've done about 60 days of basic training. I was released with an honorable discharge because I could not shave with a razor blade. Could I join the American Legion?
So you were on active duty with the Marines? Correct?
Yes, but I did not complete basic training. I only done maybe 60 days.
Well, then let me ask a Marine. Here, we're going to check. Sean?
What year was that?
I want to say 1976.
You may have just missed it. Let me get Oscar the Marine here to kind of figure that. Did he just miss it, or?
Yeah, I think he just missed the eligibility cutoff from the Vietnam era.
1975 was the cutoff for Vietnam. But I will tell you, though, you are eligible for possibly the Sons of the American Legion, or you also, if not that, even the AMVETS. That's for all honorably discharged veterans. And, you know, some people, if they can't always present it to anybody, if they can't join the American Legion, you have other options.
Okay. It's the Sons of the Legion. Because I saw that sign when I came in here the other day. I thought that was for the kids of Legionnaires. What's Sons of Legion?
Actually, like myself, I'm a dual member. My father served during a wartime eligible period. And long as you have your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, going down in ancestry, and you can find out you if one of them is deceased, for example, you pull out a photo, take to that post, and most posts will acknowledge that photo that you had a family member like your father, your grandfather. Now, you would not be eligible if it was one of your brothers, but for your but that's different for the auxiliary. They can actually join under brothers. But for the sons, that's not possible. It has to be a father, grandfather, great-grandfather, and that's it.
If you want some more information, you can go to the Legion website at legion.org, legion.org. I appreciate it, Bill. Let me go to Portia at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Portia Davis. I was calling. I was in the military from 83 to 86, and I was just calling active duty Army to see was I, if I was eligible to join the Legion.
They're giving me thumbs up because of 83, 86. What unit did you serve in Army?
I was in the Army in 83.
What unit did you serve? You remember? I think we lost Portia, but the important thing is she's in. She can go to Post 249 or any American Legion post. Is part of it lack of information? And I was talking to some folks from the Legion earlier, a gentleman from Florida, and we ran out of time before he had to go somewhere before we went on the air. That you guys are so low key. Both you all, VFW, are so low key in the national American consciousness, and even in the consciousness of Black America, that people really aren't aware. We're learning a lot of things in the interviews that we've done.
Yes, I agree with that. I agree with that. And part of what we're doing, even on a national level, we're trying to get more people involved, younger people involved, to get the word out. On a national level, they do a great job with putting the word out, but, you know, that personal person contact is still what we have to do. We still have to get boots on the ground and let people know about the American Legion story and what we do.
We're going to our listeners will hear from the interview that we did with the National Commander, Commander Wong, and the issues that the American Legion is facing. But I don't, you know, a lot of people know nationally, oh, yes, African Americans have double-digit unemployment. But this double-digit unemployment among our new veterans, those who have served since 9/11, is just as alarming as the high unemployment rate among African Americans. Is this something that really needs to start penetrating the consciousness of this country?
Well, absolutely. And if you had just heard the VA secretary.
What did he say?
Well, he said some very good things. The one thing about our VA secretary is that since day one, he's always advocated what he was going to do for veterans, and he has fulfilled his obligation. And I mean, it's work in progress, but he's working toward it. Employment of veterans is one of the big things he's always talked about. Homelessness in veterans is another thing he's always talked about. And he is working towards accomplishing that which he stated he would do day one. So, again, we just have to get out there and get that word out.
You just mentioned homelessness and veterans. And before I went on the air, one of our folks with the American Legion here with the staff was talking about an American Legion post in a correctional institution here in our city that's kind of like a halfway house, just, you know, the place where you go when you're on the way, you know, back to the outside, that there's an American Legion post. And you mentioned homeless veterans. Has anybody ever thought of an American Legion post for homeless folks? Because you've got homeless veterans, maybe that's something that waives the fee temporarily till these guys and ladies get back on their feet.
Well, again, the VA system has several programs for homeless veterans. Again, getting involved with the American Legion, who I'm going to advocate for now. But, again, other veteran service organizations like the VFW, AMVETS, Marine Corps League, they have that information that you need to get the assistance that you need. I want to say the DAV, too, to get the assistance that you need if you are a homeless veteran. But the VA has several different programs that help veterans that are currently homeless. And, again, a part of our VA secretary, Senseki's mandate is that he's working on every day, you know, decreasing the number of homeless vets on the street.
You know, I was talking to you, and I can't escape that lovely Marine tie that you're wearing. You know, one way y'all could get greater recognition for the American Legion is call up CBS in Hollywood and tell Agent Gibbs to one time wear his American Legion hat on the show. Because, you know, he's not active, but he's kind of – that might help.
You just told it. You just told it.
See, now he's going to run back and tell the national commander and then send me a check. Brother Oscar Coward, the pride of North Carolina, thank you for being here. Brother Sean Sparks with the national headquarters, thank you guys very much for being here.
Thank you. I appreciate you having us.
All right, when we come back, our exclusive interview with the National Commander of the American Legion, all that and more. We're live at the Convention Center. It is the annual National Convention of the American Legion. First time Soul has ever broadcast from here. Oh, my goodness. It's Afternoons with Amos after these.